the first time? Anybody who's here for the first time? Okay. Nobody is here for the first time. We are all familiar with the environment. Let's get into the word. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. See, last week I taught from the Old Testament. Today we are back in the Old Testament. Yes, as I was waiting upon the Lord this week, he just dropped this word in my heart, and I believe the Lord is going to speak to us. Now, 1 Kings 19, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword." Those of you who are new to this journey, the story here is Elijah had confronted the prophets of the false prophets, you know, and the Bible says on that mountain there was a contestation. There was a contestation between the prophets of Ahab, prophets that were not true, and God himself. And Elijah was standing and he said, "Let the true God answer by fire." And life happened. God answered by fire, and all the prophets were killed. These prophets that belonged to Ahab and Jezebel, so to speak. Now, the story here is Jezebel was told of what Elijah had done. Elijah had killed the 450 prophets. Now, verse 2, "So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.'" In other words, if I do not kill you by this time tomorrow. So she made an oath to her gods. So it was not just an empty threat. This was a proper threat. That was an oath. Now, verse 3, "Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die." This is what he said: "I have heard enough, Lord." Have you been there where you're saying, "I have heard enough, I am done. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.'" Other version says, "For the journey is too great for you." For the journey is too much for you. Verse 8, "So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Dear Father, we pray this morning for the preaching of the word. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. Mighty God, come and speak to us. We humble ourselves this morning. Come and have your way, O God, and we desire to be transformed. My Father, I pray that this would not just be information, but I pray that it results in a transformed life. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've got 30 minutes to do an hour's message. Let's see how we go this morning. Amen. Now, last week, we introduced a message titled "Designed for Fruitfulness." How many of you were there last week? Okay, most of us were there. Praise the Lord. We spoke about how God designed you and I to be fruitful. So you were designed for fruitfulness. And hey, we're going to turn that into a series. So today we're doing part 2 of designed for fruitfulness. Because we need to know, how do we become fruitful? It's one thing to know I was designed to be fruitful, but I don't have the manual of running this machine. Do you know that when you buy something, there is a manual in the box on how you should fully optimize the new gadget you bought? Hallelujah. It was designed to work in a certain way. Unless you understand the manual, you might not get the best out of the product. The same thing applies to you and I. Yes, you are designed for fruitfulness, but I need a manual. I need to know the process that will enable me to be fruitful. And in that regard, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter. Get up and eat. Get up and eat. We're going to talk about getting up and eating this morning. Now, people eat for different reasons. Some eat because they are hungry. I don't know why you ate this morning. Some eat because everyone else is eating. Some eat because they cannot stop eating. You know, people who cannot stop eating, they just keep on eating, especially teenage boys. They just keep on eating. Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm hungry. So people eat because they cannot stop eating. Some eat to satisfy a craving. How many times do you crave for that chocolate bar? If you are like me, you crave peanuts. I enjoy peanuts. I have to discipline myself to stop from eating peanuts. I enjoy those brown peanuts, roasted peanuts. Some people eat genuinely because they are hungry and they need energy. Now, let me say to you, depending on what you want to achieve, you become very selective about what you eat. You see, if you are engaged in a hard labor job, you stock up with a lot of carbohydrates, isn't it? Energy give you, have pop and flares before you go in to do your pick and shovel job, right? Maybe you want to engage in an endurance race. Maybe it's comrades, or it's a Two Oceans Marathon, or it's a 94.7 challenge. It's an endurance race. So what do? You stock up on carbs, proteins, and electrolytes, and everything that you need to enable you to perform. Maybe you want to lose weight. You eat less of every selected food. Do you know, sometimes it's not about a lot of exercising, it's about what you put in that changes the way you perform. Now put this down. What you eat influences your health, your strength, and your performance. What you eat determines your health, your strength, and your performance. That is why we talk about vitamins, supplements. Because they're saying, well, your food does not have enough omegas, omega-3s. Therefore, take some supplements. You're feeling flat and bloated. You're feeling tired. Get some supplements. So that we supplement certain minerals in your system to enable you to perform optimally. And I want to ask you a question. Physically speaking, what have you been eating? Do you know sometimes you've got to change the times that you eat? Now, think about it. You've got a plate of pap and flays, and you eat that full plate at 9 p.m. Your body will struggle, man. You've got to give time for some work to be done. It's important. Some of you say, man, I'm not a breakfast person. I don't like eating breakfast. Let me tell you something. Breakfast is one of the most important meals you should not miss. Miss breakfast only when you're fasting. But if you, other than that, have breakfast because your brain needs the energy. Your brain needs to be awake. The reason why you sleep in your meetings in the morning is because you are starving your brains of energy. Have bowl of cereal or something like that. Just put something in the system. Are we together this morning? And you're like, so Pastor, what are you saying? In the same way that your physical body requires food and nutrition to function optimally, your spiritual body needs food. The principles that we have in the natural regarding our eating habits, the quality of food we eat, applies to the spirit man. The quality of the food you feed your spirit man determines your ability to withstand whatever the enemy can throw at you. Do you know that if you don't eat healthy food, you compromise your immune system? You become susceptible to viruses, to sicknesses and disease. The same thing applies to your spirit man. If you don't feed your spirit man with healthy stuff, you become susceptible to all sorts of winds of doctrine. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, we are good at feeding our physical body, but sometimes lousy at feeding our spiritual body. You know, we normally ask each other in our house, and we say, have you been reading your Bible? Even with the kids. When last did you read the Bible? And you get all sorts of stories coming through there, right? Now, when last did you eat? For most of us, it was like around 8 before you came to church. Why? Because you were breaking the fast. You know, for 8 hours, you are fasting when you are sleeping, fella. You are not eating. So do you know why it's called break fast? We are breaking the fast that we're going through throughout the night. And you're feeling hunger pains. And I want you to know that if you don't feed your spirit man will feel hunger pains. And my prayer for you is that every time you eat physically, you must be reminded by the Spirit of God to feed your spiritual body as well. Hello? Let me say this morning, everyone without exception, from babies in the Lord to the grown-ups in the Lord, need to fuel up all the time. When you're taking off to Cape Town, 1,400 kilometers, after every 400 Ks, you refuel. Why? Because there's nothing left in the tank. And I want you to know that in the spirit man, you are on a journey. And after a certain mileage, you need to refuel. Glory be to God. What has been your refueling habit in the spirit? I want you to realize the more you eat properly, proper food in the spirit, the greater your level of maturity in the Lord. We're going to unpack this a little bit today. Now, this morning, I want to talk to Elijah. Elijah is sitting here today. And I want to speak to you for a moment. Elijah, you need to eat. And put this down. Every Elijah needs to eat at some point. And I want to say to you today, Elijah, you need to eat. You need to fuel up. Now, we've got a story here of the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a seasoned prophet of God. And we find him after reaching one of his highest levels of spiritual engagement. It was Elijah who stood on that mountain and he took on a nation that had moved away from God. On one side, there was God. On the other side, there was Israel. And Israel was losing the plot. And I want you to know that God is looking for an Elijah that stands between him and the people of God. Hallelujah. And Elijah stood. And God used Elijah to convince the Israelites that there was only one true God in Israel. And on Mount Carmel, God answered by fire. On Mount Carmel, the 450 false prophets were murdered. I want you to see the intensity of the spiritual activities going on right now on the mountain. Now, straight after such a great exploit, Elijah's life came under great danger. When Jezebel threatened to kill him and to avenge the death of the prophets of Baal. Now, one would think that Elijah was strong enough. One would think that Elijah was anointed enough. One would think that Elijah had enough faith to stand his ground. But alas, Elijah was in a different space. The Bible says in verse 3, after Elijah heard the threat, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. The great man of God ran for dear life. And his main aim was to get to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb was the Mount Sinai where Moses had encountered God. And for Elijah, that is a place where he could fit and he could meet God. Now, Elijah was tired. And I want to talk to you this morning because you've been faithful. You've been serving God. You've been a prayerful person. You've been a forgiving person. You've been a dependable employee at your workplace. Friends have counted on you. You've been giving your tithe and your offering to the house of the Lord. You've been reaching the lost for Jesus. But somehow, out of all of those great exploits, your life doesn't look like a great exploit. Somehow, it feels like the more I want to pursue God, the further away I move from my own dreams and aspirations. I don't know if you've been there, where you've been saying, Lord, in this season I've been prayerful. In this season I've been faithful. I've been going to church, but my life doesn't look like it. My life is not as exciting as it should. The reason why some of you are going through some difficult patches, it is because you've been faithful in walking with God. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that every time you up your tempo in the spirit in seeking God, the devil does exactly the same. The devil doesn't just pull back and say, just give me time. No, the devil is not interested in anybody that is fruitful. You've been fruitful in the Lord. You've been a prayerful person, but your life seems to be going backwards all the time. They are threatening you at work that they would retrench you. And you go back and say, Lord, I've been faithful. Lord, I've been praying. You are not alone. Elijah found himself in that space. After doing a great work for God, there was a woman who threatened his life. I want you to know that Jezebel was not just Jezebel. Jezebel represented a principality and a power in the spirit. And many of you right now have been confronting principalities and powers because you just moved to another dimension in your walk with God. Every time you pop into another dimension, into another realm in the spirit, you awaken demonic entities that operate in that level. When you look at the Bible, I want you to know that there are rankings, even in the dark world. There are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers. All of those are different levels of intensity in the spirit. And when you rise up and you choose to be a fruitful person, I want you to know you engage stiffer measures in the spirit. You know the statement that says, the tallest tree catches the strongest wind. So when you decide to rise up in your walk with God, you will face different types of winds. Elijah stood and said, let the true God answer by fire. And God answered by fire. He triggered something in the spirit. Now, why was Elijah running? And I want to ask you a question. Why have you been running? After trusting God for healings for your uncle and he got healed. After praying for a child and the Lord gave you a child. After praying for a job and the Lord gave you a job. After asking for favor and the Lord gave you favor. Why are you running? That is the question. Elijah, you did a great work. Why are you running? I can suggest an answer for you. Elijah was running because he had lost focus of the God who had called him. Many of us run not because God has moved, not because God has changed, but because we have lost focus of that God. I want you to know that God had not changed. The God who had answered by fire on Mount Carmel was still the same God. The God who had answered his prayers for rain was still God. I want you to know that God has not changed. Put this down. When we lose trust in God, we start running after things that have a form of God, but not God. When we lose sight of who Jehovah is, we move and we look for a counterfeit. We look for something that looks like God, that looks like my help comes from that place. God had not moved back to Mount Horeb. But Elijah said, I'm going to run to Mount Horeb. God had not left him in Israel. He was there because he had just answered prayers that he was making. This morning I want you to know, the God who answered you 20 years ago, the God who answered you yesterday, is still the same God right now. Stop running. Refocus on him. Refocus on him. You see, God had given, think about killing 450 people. I'm not talking about one person or two people. 450 people. Something must have come upon Elijah. There must have been a holy anger that got upon him that caused him to take out 450 people. Currently we are talking about the massacre that took place in Lusikisiki, close to the new bridge we are building in the Eastern Cape. 18 people were killed brutally by some gunmen. Something was upon those men. A natural person cannot do that. Just doing things out of their own will, and they were being pushed by something here. And I want you to know that Elijah was under the anointing when he did what he did. But when Jezebel came and spoke some words to Elijah, they were not just words. There were spears and arrows that were charged by a spiritual entity that Elijah said, I'm going to run for my life. Elijah lost trust in God. Because God had not relocated to Mount Horeb. You know, many people want some tangible things for them to believe in the healings of God. I want a cloth to be prayed for. Then I know God is going to heal me. But by and large, that's not how God wants to minister to you. He wants you to have your attention on God, not on things. Not on oil, not on water, No, he wants you to focus on him because God does not need all of those additives. Well, I'm not saying he doesn't do that from time to time, but let's not look at things that have a form of God, but not God. Don't change the way you are praying. You know, they start telling you, you've got to pray on the midnight hour. The midnight hour prayers will change your life. The 3 a.m. prayers will change your life. And you know, at that time you are sleepy. Your prayers are not as effective because you are tired. Your body is not meant to function at 12 midnight. But somebody told you, you want breakthrough? Pray at midnight, because that is when witches are busy doing their things and you are able to confront them. Witches operate at any time. The devil doesn't wait for darkness. He operates where he will and where he's permitted. And this morning I want you to know, don't pursue things which have a form of God whilst they are not God. Elijah ran He went to Beersheba, left his servant, and the Bible says from then on, he went a day's journey into the desert. Elijah ate some ordinary food. And like Elijah, when we lose trust in God, we start putting trust in unreliable avenues. We start putting our trust on our uncles, on our aunts, and our friends to come through for us. But I want you to know there is somebody better than your uncle. There is somebody better than your friend. His name is Jehovah. Glory be to God. So Elijah ate some food, some ordinary food. And the Bible says in the strength of that food, Elijah ran for a day. And he could not run anymore. He ran for a day and he could not run anymore. Saints, we all get to a place where we just cannot run anymore. Yes, you've been running, you've been doing your own thing, you've been trying everything by yourself. I want you to know, without God, you will come to a place where you cannot run anymore. And Elijah encounters his breaking point and he realizes he could not run anymore. In that moment of being tired and weary and discouraged, Elijah became suicidal. And I want to tell you this morning, when you move your eyes from God to other things, you realize how helpless you are. And when you are in a place of helplessness, you don't have a desire to live anymore. In verse 4, the Bible says, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. He says, I have heard enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Come on, Elijah. It's not time to die. It's not time to give up, because there is a race that you must run. There is a work I must do. Hallelujah. Lord, take my life. I can't do this anymore. Lord, your people don't listen. Lord, I've been preaching my heart out. Nobody is paying attention to the word. And because of that, pastors become suicidal. Do you know the levels of suicide amongst the fivefold ministry? Very high. It is because you come to a point where you say, I have heard enough. When we start running in our own strength, in our own wisdom, you come to a point where you say, I can't do this anymore. I am done. Now, I want to say to you, when you are in that state, it's okay to sleep. It's okay to sleep. Can I be honest with you? Every Sunday afternoon, I go to sleep. I don't know if it's a power nap or what, but an hour and a half at least, I must sleep. Now, out of exhaustion, Elijah slept under a juniper tree. And I want you to know this morning that the state of being sleeping or in being asleep is a state of utter weakness. You are never as vulnerable as you are when you are asleep. Do you know that when you are asleep, people can do things to you? People can pour water on you. Because when you are asleep, you're out of control. You know, when you are asleep, thieves come into your house and they break in. When you are asleep, a lot of things can go wrong. People die in their sleep. But I want you to know that in your state of being asleep, it's also a time of heightened spiritual activity. I don't know if you're aware of this. When you are asleep, you might be asleep, your spirit man might just be there, calm, but it is a heightened time of spiritual activities. Because at that point, your spirit man is open. It's like being in theater and they sedate you. And you just go. You don't know. I was in theater a couple of times. And they inject you with that thing. Or they put that, I don't know what they put on your nose. And you see yourself fading and fading. You're gone. And the next thing you wake up, you've got bandages all over you. What happened? They abused you when you are asleep. I want you to know that's what happens when you are asleep. And I was telling somebody that when your life is given to God, when your life is a life of worship and a life of prayer, when you are asleep, it's a heightened time for angels and for God to come and minister to you. That is why when people wake up and they say, the Lord spoke to me at night. What happened? He was in a state where God was in charge. But if you listen to other things, these hardcore hip-hop songs and rock and everything else, you are inviting another aspect in the spirit. And when you sleep, they come. And you say, Pastor, I can't breathe when I'm asleep. We need to talk about what goes on when you are alert. Hello, somebody. So Elijah was asleep. It was when he was asleep that God came. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want you to know that God is gracious. God is faithful. When you are asleep in your state of being exhausted, he comes. And I pray that God would meet you. Hallelujah. And do something with your life. Verse 5. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. This morning, this is the word for you. Get up and eat. You've got to get up and eat. You've been running for a long time. You've been trying different things in your life. And the Lord is saying, you are running low in your fuels. Get up and eat. You need to get up and eat. Because if you don't get up and eat, you will run out. There is something that God has been preparing for you. And he's saying, it is time for you to eat. What I find interesting here is that when Elijah was woken up, he ate the food that was before him. But for the first time, Elijah did not rise up and go. Elijah went back to sleep. The Bible says he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and commanded him to eat. This time Elijah was given the reason why he needed to eat. He was told, rise up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. This morning, what God has called you to do is too much for you. It is too much for me. It needs something outside of me. It needs something outside of my effort to achieve the calling of God in my life. Elijah had eaten his own food, which he had prepared. Maybe his mama, I don't know, maybe his wife. I don't know if he was married, I don't know. But what I know, it was given to him by another man. But this time God said, enough with man-made ideas. I'm giving you heaven-made ideas. I'm giving you something of heaven to produce the results of heaven. Elijah needed to eat. Not just any food. And I'm saying to you, for what God has called you to do, you don't need any food. You need a specific type of food. Elijah had good intentions, but lacked the capacity and the means to achieve his intention. You have good intentions, but as long as you're outside the feeding scheme of God, you don't have capacity to fulfill what God has in store for you. His intention was to go to Mount Horeb. Because in his heart, if I go to Mount Horeb, I'm closer to God. I will encounter God. And he wanted to get there, but the journey was too much for him. But after he had eaten the food from heaven for the second time, the Bible says he was strengthened. And in the power of that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights. And he got to Mount Horeb. And I went, I did a research, like, what is the distance between the broom tree and Mount Horeb? And it is written that it is about 482 kilometers from where Elijah was lying to where Mount Horeb was, and he did that in 40 days and 40 nights, implying that he was going all the time. He was going and going. And this is what happens when we feed from God. You need to get up and eat the provisions of heaven and not earthly provisions. Glory be to God. You see, feeding your spirit man is not a fast food type of feeding. You know, whenever you go to McDonald's, it's timed. You place your order, and within 5 to 10 minutes, the food is out. But you go to another hotel, Fire and Ice, down the road, it takes a bit of time. Why? Because this one is fast food, quickly produced, unhealthy to some level. And I want you to know, when it comes to your spiritual life, it cannot be a hit and run process. You've got to wait with the Lord. You've got to hear what he's saying. You've got to be patient with what God is doing in your life to produce a heavenly type of result. The world promises you fast food, quick results, microwave type of results. And that is why when we pray, we are not able to wait upon the Lord, because we're a fast food generation. We want to press and the food is warmed quickly. Back in the days, you've got to get the fire going before you can warm your food. And Elijah was fed twice. The angel brought the food, but Elijah needed to rise up and eat. Many of you, I can see, the angels have been bringing food, but you've been too busy or too lazy to wake up and eat. I don't know about you, but I know people who can sleep the whole day. You don't see them. The whole day they are asleep. And many people do that in the spirit. We are sleeping every day and every week. When prayer is called, I am tired. When fasting is called, I cannot fast. I've got ulcers. Don't you know that I'm on medication? If I fast, I don't have any strength. Well, everybody who fasts does not have strength. So there's nothing special about me. Hello? Elijah needed to rise up and eat. Heaven will provide the food, but it is for you to eat. And I'm saying to you, get up and eat. Can I tell you something? I have come across awesome believers, great people of God, but there's only one thing about them. They are lazy believers. Not here. Somewhere where I've been, awesome people, they are really great, heaven going, but lazy people. Lazy people who cannot pray enough. And I'm not surprised, because even Jesus had lazy disciples. Because when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, wait with me for 1 hour. Pray with me for 1 hour. They could not. I rebuke the spirit of laziness in this church. Laziness is not your portion. And I want you to know, it is a spirit. Don't take it lightly and think, well, you know what? I was never raised in a house where we would go to church every Sunday, where we would go for prayer meetings. We never saw it. Mama would go once. No. That's a spirit of laziness. And it is meant to rob you of what God has in store for you. And I want you to ask yourself, do you fit that profile? Because if you've been in the Lord for 20 years, there is a type of fruit Jesus is expecting. More fruit than the one who's been a year in the Lord. And today, laziness has robbed us of fruitfulness. Elijah would have missed Mount Horeb had he not woken up to eat. He woke up the first time. The second time, he could have said, dude, leave me alone. I want to rest. But he woke up and he ate. When he ate the second time, he knew something had changed. He knew something had shifted inside of him, and he rose up and he left. The first time he knew, he was still running low. It wasn't enough. People of God, you will fast one day and you'll know I need more days. Hallelujah. You've been praying for 15 minutes, but now I pray that you start feeling like, no, 15 minutes is not enough. I need another 15 minutes. Laziness. Not your portion. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 verse 2, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you'll eat what is good. You'll enjoy the finest food. We put an effort to what matters to us. We put an effort to go for shows. I remember my daughter, she keeps us busy. During the season in her life at school, every night you're out with her doing things, and we put an effort for them, but how about putting an effort for your own spirit man? We put an effort for what matters. But if heavenly food matters, we will put an effort. And I'm saying to you, get up and eat. The food is available. Why do you spend money on food that does not give you strength? What have you been eating? Remember, I said, what you eat determines your health, your strength, and your performance. What have you been eating? What have you been feeding your spirit man with? Now, what is this food we are talking about? I'm glad you asked as we land this plane. What is this food we are talking about? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes, so that you may grow by it. Desire the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God as newborn babies, so that you may grow by it, so that by it you may be strengthened. Do you know that breast milk is probably the best dish you can give to a little kid? Because in that milk there is everything that they need. In fact, mothers are encouraged to feed their babies as far as they can, until that kid knows where the milk is and starts crying, I want milk there. When he starts saying that, kick him out because he's now old enough. But I'm talking about desiring the word of God. Hallelujah. Because when you have the word of God, you have everything that you need. Listen to me. Fruitful people are people of the word. There are people who understand the value of God's word. Do not open your Bible because you are at church. Create a habit of reading the word. And every time you eat your pap and flays, I pray that the Holy Spirit reminds you you haven't fed the spirit man. Fruitful people eat and live God's will for their lives. They seek to know God's will for their lives. The Lord Jesus in the book of John chapter 4, he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. My food is to do the will of him that sent me. Fruitful people understand heavenly food called fellowship. They have enough dosage of it in their lives. They don't neglect the meeting of brothers. And I want to challenge you today, if you want to be like Elijah, who then made it to Mount Horeb, be found in the gathering of believers. Don't make it a habit just to miss church anyhow or to miss cell group. You've got to be in that place where you are fed. Hallelujah. Fruitful people understand the food of prayer. They are constant in prayer. They are serious in prayer. You know, there are times where you can pray in your shower. It's okay. But there's a time where you need to face your wall and cry. There's a time where you need to shut the door and talk to your Father. Glory be to God. Now this morning, When Elijah got to Mount Horeb, he encountered God. God is so gracious. When you put your mind to meet him, he will meet up with you. And that mountain, he was in a cave. And the Lord came and he said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? I want you to know God will engage you. As I finish this morning, I've been talking to you, Elijah, because you're a believer. But I want you to know there are a lot of Elijahs who are not believers. Not every Elijah is a believer. There are some Elijahs who are still looking for God. The same Jezebel who is pursuing you is pursuing them, stopping them from seeing the light. They know that there is a God somewhere, but they don't know how and where to find him. And this morning, I want you to know, every Elijah who is a believer is an angel that the Lord will send to an Elijah who doesn't believe. The same way that Elijah was running towards Mount Horeb, many people around you are seeking for God. In the city of Athens, when Paul went in there, he saw that these people were so religious because they had so many shrines and stones. And he said to them, today I have come to declare to you the God whom you don't know. Unless an angel came to Elijah, Elijah was going to continue in his sleep. And this morning I want you to know, unless you allow God to use you in somebody's life, many people around us will continue asleep until they die. Until they die in their state of exhaustion. But when you rise up and you say, Lord, use me to awaken somebody to the truth of the gospel, God will use you. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Get up and eat.